Looking for a great math program? CTC Math provides online video tutorials that make learning math easy and effective by using creative graphics and animation that are sure to grab and keep your child's attention. Here's a great testimonial from Lori, one of the many listeners of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. She said, "One day, my 10-year-old was in tears over math. I tried my best to help, but ended up in tears as well. We prayed together, and that very night, I received an email offer for CTC Math. The following Monday, we reviewed the curriculum together. She was willing to give it a shot, and we have never looked back." Start your free trial today by visiting ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Abinella. Hi, Abby.
Hello.
We are talking about how to remain steadfast at home through just the craziness of the world around us. So if you missed part one of our conversation on Monday, definitely go back and listen to that. Mm-hmm. You will be so encouraged and Abby, you talked through most of that about don't leave your post. We're in a spiritual war right now, and God has called us as moms, as followers of Him, as Christians, to a very specific thing, a very specific role in this battle that we're fighting, and a very important role. I think sometimes moms tend to think, all I do is I sit and all day long I change diapers and I wipe snotty noses and I am in the kitchen for 500 hours a day feeding my kids and doing dishes and doing laundry and all the things that we're doing. And your work is so important, and you are so valuable in this army of Christians that the Lord has you in. And you talked again, Abby, as well about the body of Christ. We are all a part of the body of Christ. Oftentimes, as Christian wives, we care for our home so that our husband can go fight a different part of the battle. And as husbands and wives, we hopefully are fighting the same battle in our homes and raising up Christian soldiers. But God has called us to something very specific. And our role as mom is to take care of our children and to take care of our home and to take care of our husbands. But sometimes, like we said at the end of the last podcast, sometimes God has a special assignment for us. And sometimes that's just for a season. Right now, Abby and I, part of our special assignment is that the Lord has called us to do this podcast. And we love it. We find so much joy in doing this because we know that it blesses you and encourages you. And we're, I've said this before, we're not some super homeschool moms who know everything about homeschooling. We have it all figured out. We're the perfect parents and we have the perfect marriages and we have the perfect home and everything is in order and we've got it all figured out. That's not at all true. We are moms and wives just like you who are in the midst of this battle trying to figure it out. And so,
If you could see us, we're sitting in our bedroom, because this is the other thing, is this is our special assignment, but a special assignment never takes precedent of the bigger. So we have said, yes, this podcast and this homeschool ministry, it is our special assignment, but never, ever, and Yvette and I hold each other accountable, never does it come before our first ministry, which is our family, which is why I'm surrounded by laundry in my bedroom as I have the kids eating out in the other room, because that's my first ministry. Yeah. And we're just regular moms doing this, but God has placed all of us, Yvette, myself, and everybody listening in this world. I mean, I keep saying, man, like, I know God didn't make a mistake making me right now, raising children in 2021, but He didn't. He made us for such a time as this. That's on purpose. It wasn't a mistake. And would it have been my choice? Absolutely not. Take me back to the Little House on the Prairie days all day long. But that wasn't God's plan. God's plan was for us to be here now. And so with that said, what does that mean? And how can we live fully in the time that He's called us to live?
Yeah. And what can we learn from His word? I mean, we've talked about a lot of scripture. At the end of the last episode, I told you guys that over the past couple months, I've read the Book of Esther a few times, and I have read the Book of Esther before, but when I read it a few months ago, I read it with completely different eyes. Mm-hmm. And it came alive to me like that story has never come alive to me ever before. And I know that there are movies that have been made about Esther and mm-hmm. books that have been written, but I'm like, I want to make a movie about this because it's just so good. And it's actually kind of funny. I mean, there are parts of it that are funny in a weird way. But the Book of Esther, if you have not read it, let me first just say, even before you listen to the rest of this podcast, pause this, go grab your Bible, grab your kids, grab your husband if he's home, and read the entire Book of Esther. It's 8 chapters. It's not very long. Even put it on your audio Bible. You know, we use YouVersion, and so it will even read it for you. But but read the Book of Esther, or take a few days or a week or a couple of weeks to read through it. But I'm going to give you kind of a very, very brief overview for those of you who maybe are not really familiar with the Book of Esther. One of the things that I find most interesting about it is that, and I don't know if you know this, Abby, but it's the only book in the Bible that does not ever mention the name of God.
Isn't
that amazing?
I didn't know that. But the evidence of God is unbelievably in there.
Yes.
It's everywhere.
It is everywhere. I mean, God's presence literally just permeates through the entire story of Esther. And nothing that happens in this story is a coincidence.
Nothing.
And God is clearly in control of this entire story, just like God is completely in control of our story, of the world that we're living in, of the chaos that is surrounding us, of the unsurety and unrest that we're feeling in our nation right now. God is in control. And so I'm going to kind of just very, very briefly just kind of unpack this. So in the beginning of the story, Abby and I were talking about this before. Most people call him King Xerxes, but our family usually reads the ESV, and in the ESV, they refer to him as King Ahasuerus. And so I'm going to read a little bit from Esther. So when you hear me say King Ahasuerus, it's also King Xerxes. That he just, I don't know why he has two different names. I'm not sure. But nonetheless, that's his name. So here, the kind of characters in the story are King Ahasuerus, King Vashti, who was his lovely wife, and the king is having this grand party. And so he calls for Queen Vashti, and he wants her to come and basically flaunt her beauty in front of all his buddies. And she's like, no, I'm not going to do that. So he basically kicks her to the curb. He's like, get out. I never want to see you again. And this is the queen, but she basically humiliates him in front of all of his friends. And so he says, I'm done with her. So then he's like, well, I need to have a queen, and she must be beautiful. And so he has all the pure, beautiful girls in the kingdom. He's the king of the Persian Empire. So he has all the young, beautiful, pure women brought to him. And one of those beautiful young women is Queen Esther, whose name
At the time.
I'm sorry. No. Oh, right. She's not queen at the time. Her name is Esther. Her name is
young single gal.
Right. She's also referred to as Hadassah. Her actual name is Hadassah, but she's always referred to as Esther in the Bible. And so basically they take this group of girls, these young girls, and they basically go to a spa for like a whole year. Wouldn't that be nice? And they pamper them, and they make them even more beautiful than they already are. While King Ahasuerus takes a liking, he sees Esther and he's like, she's a hottie. And so through some events, she becomes the new queen, and she has this cousin named Mordecai, and Mordecai has taken care of her. Queen Esther's parents had died when she was young, and so Mordecai has taken her kind of as his own daughter, and he raises her. And so he is kind of outside of the castle gates, and as he's outside, he discovers one day that two of the king's eunuchs want to hurt King Ahasuerus. So he tells Esther about it. Esther goes and tells the king, and the eunuchs are hanged, and she basically saves the king's life. But really, it was Mordecai who saved the king's life by telling Esther. Well, then In comes Haman, and Haman is a really, really bad guy. And he becomes second in command to the king, and he wants everybody to bow to him. And Mordecai is a Jew. Esther is a Jew, and Mordecai doesn't want to bow to Haman. He refuses to bow to Haman because, you know, he bows to God. And so Haman gets really mad about this. And the plot just thickens at this point, like really, really thickens. So Haman comes up with this great plan that he's going to kill all the Jews. And it actually says letters were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with instruction to destroy, kill, and annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, in one day. So his great plan is to kill all of the Jews in one day. And Mordecai then learns of Haman's plan to kill the Jews. And I'm going to read from Esther chapter 4, and hang with me here, because I was reading through this and I was like, I'm going to just kind of dissect it and read just certain parts, but it only made sense to read the entire thing. And I don't know that I've ever on the podcast read an entire chapter of a Bible. We've read a lot of scripture, but it only really made sense to read this whole thing. And so if you're in your Bible in Esther, I'm in Esther chapter 4. Again, I'm using the English Standard Version, the ESV. And so I'm going to read through this. So starting at verse 1, it says, when Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes. Now, when he's talking about what had been done, Haman wants to kill all the Jews. Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes and went out to the midst of the city. And he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. And in every province, wherever the king's command and his decree reached, there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay in sackcloth and ashes. Does that sound a little bit familiar right now? When Esther's young women and her eunuchs came and told her, the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so that he might take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called for Hathach, one of the king's eunuchs who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn what this was, and why it was, because she didn't know what was happening at this point. Hathach went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that had happened to him and the exact sum of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasuries for the destruction of the Jews. Again, we remember Jesus comes from the line of David. Jesus was a Jew, and so he wants to annihilate all of the Jews. Well, then there would be no Jesus, of course. Mordecai also gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, that he might show it to Esther and explain it to her and command her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hathach went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law: to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come into the king these 30 days, which I think is so funny. She's the wife of the king. She's the queen. Right. She's like, but I haven't been called in for 30 days. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take some boldness on her part to go to the king and tell him this is what's going on. My people are about to be annihilated. So verse 12 says, and they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther. And here's the part. Ah, this part's so good. Mm-hmm. Do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than all the other Jews. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Let that sit for a minute. I'm going to read that last part again. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Verse 15, then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold a fast on my behalf, and do not eat or drink for 3 days, day or night. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered him. And that's the end of chapter 4. And again, I go back to verse 14. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place, but you and your father's house will perish. And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Moms and dads, maybe, who are listening to this, we are here in 2021 for such a time as this. God knew. He has a purpose for you. We are here on purpose and for a purpose. And our purpose right now is to teach our children and to raise them up in righteousness so that they can fight this battle alongside us. If our children are believers and they're Christians, there are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're fighting this battle together, but we have to train them up. There are young soldiers. And like Abby said, don't leave your post, moms. Your job is to teach them. Who cares about all of the other things that you're dreaming of or have going on? Your job is to teach your children truth and to prepare them for this battle that has already begun. We've always been in a spiritual battle, but we're getting deep into the jungle now. I mean, it's deep. And God is the leader of this army. And that is the most exciting part of it, is that we know, and we've talked about this before, there are two sides to this war. We know how it ends. Mm-hmm. We know who's going to prevail in the end. We know who's going to win. And we get to choose whose side we're going to be on. Mm-hmm. It doesn't get better than that. I mean, how many times do you go and play a game, you know, any kind of, you know, soccer game, and unless it's rigged, you know who's going to win? You don't get to know. You just play your hardest and hope that you get to be on the winning team. We don't have to hope that we're on the winning team. We know who's going to win in the end. And so we raise our kids up to love mm-hmm. him and to trust him and to know his word and to hide it in their hearts so that they will trust him and follow him in everything that they do. And if that means putting away the math books and putting away the science and the history and the language arts and all of the other things and doing nothing but reading the word of God to your kids and letting that sink into their hearts, that's what they need right now. That's all that matters. That's all that matters, is their relationship with Christ and your relationship with Christ.
Absolutely.
It's such a good story. And I mean, you guys go read the end of it, because Esther ends up going to the king. She saves the entire Jewish nation. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. Haman ends up getting hanged on the gallows that he had built to hang Mordecai. And that's the kind of funny. It's not funny, but it's the ironic part of the story when you read it, because he starts boasting to all of his friends about how great he is. And then he ends up getting hanged on his own gallows that he built. But read the story with your children and be encouraged by it, because mm-hmm. how many of us get to be Esther? We talked to Abby at Christmas time. We did a whole episode on Mary, and she was a young girl who was just willing to say yes. And because she was willing to say yes, she brought forth the Savior into the world. Well, Esther is just another young girl who was brave and courageous and willing to go to the king. And she says in verse 16, she says, "Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." She was willing to die in order to do what was right.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
Do you want to learn more about how to homeschool classically? Are you interested in how to approach classical literature? Then join the Searcy Institute for one of 2 new 6-week online intensives. Andrew Kern will guide you in how to build, grow, or transition to a classical education. He will teach the ideas that distinguish classical education and how to lay foundations and practice it in your home. This intensive kicks off January 19th. Or join Tanya Rozelle and other educators for guidance and discussion on how to read the Odyssey, a foundational work in the history of Western culture. This intensive offers a profound insight into the nature of home, family, and community, and will teach you how best to present this work to your students. This intensive begins January 20th. To find out more about both intensives, visit CerseInstitute.com/events. That's CerseInstitute.com/events.
That is such an incredibly powerful story. And like when you said, okay, we know who the general is, right? We're in a war and we know who the general is. And we have our marching orders. Like we know what our job is. It's not a mystery. It's not like we have to figure it out. God didn't say, hey, I'm going to send you to a war and find your way. He's given us clear direction. But what I find fascinating with Esther is it is the only book in the Bible where God is not mentioned by name. And sometimes I think some of us right now are looking around going, where are you, God? I don't see the general. I'm not hearing what I'm supposed to do. Where are you? And we feel like we're not seeing God right now. It feels like all we're seeing is just chaos.
Yeah.
But we have to remember that just like in this book, he was so evident throughout. I mean, I was just thinking like, God placed people in places in this story at just the exact time that was so obviously the Lord. Like the Esther found favor. Okay, so here's the deal. There's all these women, right? And they pick the top of the top, like the most beautiful women. Yeah. And then not only are they beautiful, then they get 12 months in a spa.
Right.
So let me just tell you, at the end of this, there's not an unattractive lady in the bunch. I mean, they're all beautiful. And the fact that his eye caught Esther, that wasn't, I'll be honest, it wasn't necessary. I mean, they were all beautiful. It's because God is sovereign. And the fact that the guy that was kind of the head of the harem, like he was kind of like the boss of the harem, he took favor over Esther. Like he kind of favored her. And again, not a coincidence. Or the fact that Mordecai happened to be at the right place at the right time to overhear the plan. Again, God is seen throughout this whole thing. The fact that Esther was the queen and on the throne before the Jews ever faced this. So when we right now are feeling like, God, where are you? I'm not seeing you in any of this. Take heart. He is there. He is moving pieces. He is moving places because he has a plan. It's a plan that has been set in motion from the beginning of time. This is very new to us. Every day I turn on and I feel like I've been sucker punched because didn't see this coming, but God did. And even in Esther 3:15, it said the people were perplexed. And you know what? I feel like that's how we are right now. But guess what? God was not perplexed. He was not taken off guard. And the other thing that really hit me in this was Esther's initial response in chapter 4. You read it in verse 11, is basically she gave like the facts, like, I can't really go there because it's been 30 days. Basically, she's saying this is pretty much futile. This is a pretty much death wish. Basically, this is going to be a futile mission. Right. And I have been at a place lately where I'm like, this is futile. This feels futile. And what did Mordecai? He exhorted her and he encouraged her. And he was basically like, suck it up, buttercup. This is what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
And right now, and Yvette and I are constantly saying, you need to surround yourself with people when you're feeling overwhelmed and when you're feeling the weight of like, this is futile, like Esther was, that come alongside you and say, but you know what? We don't really have an option here. Like, this is God's plan for us. We've got our marching orders. Keep your eye on the prize. Like, this is what we're doing. And then you're going to be that person for them because we are going to have good days. We are going to have hard days. And, you know, when he came alongside her and said that, she was like, she pulled up her bootstraps and she basically said, all right, people, start praying.
Yeah.
Right. Like, let's do this. Yeah. We're not made to go it alone. Right. And it's the same with us right now, you know. And you want to talk about brave and courageous. Could you imagine, like, as though Esther didn't hear the story of the first queen, like,
right,
you know,
right.
like off with her head, basically.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's because she didn't follow the king's exact orders. Right. And now Esther's like, I'm walking in to a death trap, essentially.
Yep.
But she was brave and she was courageous because she saw the end, you know, she saw the bigger picture. It wasn't about her. So I mean, that's where we're at right now, mamas.
Yep. She was a young girl who was willing to say yes.
Yes.
She was willing to do what God had called her to do, no matter what the cost.
Right.
And she knew it cost her dearly.
Yep. Yeah. If I shall die, I shall die. Right. Is that what it said?
Yep. Yep. She said, if I perish, I perish.
Yeah. But
she did it anyway. And I'm sure she didn't walk up to the king's throne and, you know, she was like, hey, king, can I talk to you? I mean, she went with her knees knocking, you know, palms sweating. I mean, probably sweating all over, you know, shaking, heart thumping. She was terrified. And sometimes that's how we get through life. That's how we get through the hard things. That's how, do it scared. Yes, Abby, I love that. Do it scared. With homeschooling, do it scared.
Yep. Just do it.
It's okay. It's okay if it's scary. Just do it. God's calling you to do it. So do it. Do it scared. He is going to prepare you to do this. He is going to equip you. He has called you to this battle and he has called your children to this battle.
And here's what we have that Esther didn't. We have the end of the story.
Right.
I mean, we know the end of the story. So, so again, like Yvette said, how easy would it be to go out on the soccer field, even if I've never played soccer a day in my life, if I was guaranteed a win, it would make it that much easier.
Yeah.
And we know the end of the story. That doesn't mean it's not going to be hard. It doesn't mean it's not going to be scary. It doesn't mean that we're going to not tremble and shake. But here's the thing, mamas, if you're listening to this, we're in it together. We're not alone. And when you see a friend start to fall and say, this is futile, pick them back up. Remind them, as Mary did, who God is, what he has done, and the promises that he's made.
Yep.
And then when you fall, reach out, because we're in it together and we know the end of the story. And take heart. Take heart.
Yep. I love it. You know, talking about verse 16, it says, go. And like you were talking about, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa and hold fast on my behalf. He says, go gather all your people.
Yes.
She couldn't have known that she was literally saving the line of, well, I mean, she, you know, I'm trying to think of, through prophecies at this point in the Bible. And I don't know. I mean, obviously Jesus is prophesied from the beginning of Genesis.
But she didn't
necessarily. But I don't know that she really would have put that together, that, you know, right. I'm really going to save the line of Jesus, you know.
No.
But they were her people and she cared about them. And so she went and she gathered them together and she was, like you said, let's gird up people. We've got this. We're going to do this together. And we need one another to do that.
Right.
And if you don't have
and
people
we need
like
God.
That. Yeah.
We need people to fall on their faces the Lord together, you know?
Yes. 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 We can find our strength in him. So I love this story. I again, could not encourage you more to read this entire book. It's short. Read it with your kids. Read it a couple of times and give your kids courage.
Give your kids courage, because this is the other thing, is just as we were made for such a time as this, so were our children.
That's right.
Created
on purpose and for a purpose.
Yeah, they were created right now. And so often as a mom, it's nerve-wracking to be raising kids right now. But this is why God made them right now. I read a really funny thing the other day that it said, we're raising dragon slayers. We shouldn't be surprised when the dragons come. Basically, we're raising, and I totally botched that, but what it's saying is we're raising warriors. We're raising kids that are rooted in Christ, that are going to make a difference in the world. So let's not be shaken when hard times come, because that's what we're preparing them for. That's what we're equipping them for. We are equipping them to walk the path that God has laid out for them. You know, so you don't raise dragon slayers and then freak out when there's a dragon. Like, isn't that the point? And so we're raising our kids for such a time as this. So take heart and don't panic when the hard things come, because they're going to be ready, because they're going to know God's word.
Yep. That's right. That's right. It's all that matters. Oh, well, we are out of time. Thank you so much for joining me again today, Abby. I love talking about God's word with you and encouraging you, our listeners. We love you and we continue to pray for you constantly. If there is any way that we can encourage you through the podcast, please let us know. I love getting emails from you. You can email us at podcast@schoolhouserocked.com. Let us know what topics you want to hear about, how we can just encourage you through topics and through guests. So if there are any guests that you're just like, why haven't they had this person on? Let us know. And if it's someone that we can get in touch with and get on the podcast, we will do that.
If they're nice, we like nice people.
And if they're nice. We actually, most people probably don't know, but we actually have a whole kind of vetting system that we go through to get people on the podcast. And in order to even be on the podcast, our guests have to sign our statement of faith, which if you want to know what that is, you can go to schoolhouserocked.com and you could read our statement of faith on there. But every guest that we have on the podcast signs our statement of faith. They have to agree to it in order to be a guest on the podcast. And we didn't do that for the first couple of years. And we had a couple of guests that we just felt like maybe they're not the best match for us. And there's been a couple of episodes that we haven't aired, but mostly they've been amazing guests. And so we want to bring to you those who encourage you in other ways. So let us know who those people are, and we will try our best to reach out to them. So thank you guys. We love you. Thank you again, Abby, for being with me today. You guys go grab your babies, open up God's word, read it with them, read the book of Esther, and just keep on going all the way till you get to Revelation. Actually, start in Genesis. If you can read through the whole Bible in a day, that would be great.
Prefer that.
I'm just kidding. That's not possible. But
stay the course, mamas. Stay the course.
Don't leave your post. Stay the course. And gird up. You are here for such a time as this. Have a great day. We will see you back here next week. Bye.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.